Last year, we brought you the story of Shark Island Brewing Company, who were on the brink of collapse even before they got their business off the ground. Their misfortune was thanks to an equipment supplier who went bust and ran off with thousands of dollars of their money, as well as money from other microbreweries. When publican James Bain from the Royal Albert Hotel heard about their plight, he organised a fundraiser to help the boys out. A number of local brewers got on board and donated kegs in support of Shark Island. The fundraiser was a resounding success. Now 12 months on, we thought we'd check in to see if Shark Island is still swimming. We welcome into the studio two of the partners of Shark Island Brewing, James Peebles and Dion Dreiser Dickinson, to find out just that. How's business, gentlemen?
Going very well, thank you. It's actually growing steadily as we speak now.
Like, in an interesting twist, Black Horse Brewery, the brewery that offered to share their premises with you, decided to close. What does that mean for you boys today and Shark Island?
It's a mixed blessing. Obviously, we're sad to see Black Horse go. They reached out to us at a very pivotal moment, took us in under their wing, let us use the premises. Well, we paid for the use of the premises, but now that they're gone, it enables us the chance to just totally make the space our own and really work towards what we wanted to do.
So tell me, if you weren't handed that lifeline from Black Horse, or shown the support from your competitors like you were back 12 months ago, do you think that you would have survived?
I honestly don't think so.
I don't think so either, no. Yeah. I think so.
It was very close. We actually did have that sit-down-together meeting at Willie the Boatman Brewery where we discussed whether we were going to pack it all in, just weeks before the offer came from Black Horse.
So. And the other micro. And tell me, what was that support like in terms of what else, other than the kegs and everything else, did you get from them?
From the other breweries,
yep.
You get a lot of support. You get encouragement. If you're out of an ingredient, you can ring up a mate at another brewery and get some ingredients across. It's unbelievable the camaraderie that exists in this industry.
So your competitors aren't really your competitors in actual fact, aren't they?
Not at all. It's like a whole big family almost.
So you each want each other to grow. Is that normal within the microbrewery industry, or is it, do you find there's a couple of microbreweries that actually just want to stick together and see others sort of succeed?
It's more the standard.
It's the standard, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's everyone wants to help each other out.
Because they want the business as a whole to continue to grow. So as long as you've got a good personality and a good product, they welcome you in.
The business meeting your expectations 12 months on from where you were?
I think so. We still like to grow a bit more, but I think we're still getting there that way. And we've actually had some, we're going to be some getting more equipment soon. Our cellar door is growing as well. A lot more people coming in to visit. It's been a nice, like a hidden secret in the area.
So the cellar door, is that a main marketing strategy for you to help the business grow, getting that awareness happening?
Most definitely. It's awareness and it's also, it's bread and butter. The profit that we can make from selling our own beer through our own taps is tenfold for the product that we sell to the greater market.
And how do you get people to the cellar door? Because I do know you have food trucks coming in. So is the pull the beer or the food?
Both, I think.
Yeah. The food has definitely been a massive boost to the cellar door. We did that, 6 months in?
6 months in, yeah.
The first six months was really just to redesign the floor plan, get some product out, and just started to build the brand. Sorry, I hit the table twice now. 3 months in, we contacted the local newspaper, which was for us is the St. George and Sutherland Shire Leader. I was amazed at the reach that our local community paper had for our business and the type of customers that it brought into our cellar door. It's great to have crafty hunters, and there's lots of people out there that hunt down for the next new beer, but just putting that article in the Leader brought everyday shy folk into our brewery.
Dries, the actual area in the cellar door, because I've been there, it's not a trendy area. It is an industrial area.
Yes.
Are people put off by that, or they're happy to come in and support you because they understand what your business has gone through?
Yeah, I'm thinking that more and more people are really taking to that that industrial aspect. It's been a while since you've been there, and we have reshaped the furniture. It's a little bit more inviting for people to come and stay for a while. But yeah, look, the industrial vibe is quite spread across the Sydney breweries, mm-hmm. in particular. It's accepted.
So tell me, with and also with your brewing, I understand there's more adventure in your microbrewing in terms of flavours. I know that you've got a choco flavour and a Christmas spice flavour.
That's correct.
What's
yes.
the inspiration behind expanding, I guess, the original flavour bases of UBE?
It brings people back as well, something new for them to try as well. So it gives people a chance to experience some different, unique flavours. Gives us as brewers a chance to actually make something a bit crazy as well and have fun with it, basically.
And are you getting positive responses for something like choco? Because I imagine choco being to a very 70s style flavour.
Well, that was the whole idea of it, I think it was.
It was tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. We all know that choco is the most flavourless vegetable on the planet. So that's why we chose to put it in a beer. We knew that it wouldn't change the flavour of the beer whatsoever, but it would remind you of your youth. Every second house in the Sutherland Shire had a choco vine in the 70s and 80s. So it was, it's been a winner.
Now, going back to your backstory and understanding the challenges that you faced as a business, how much of a difference about people knowing your backstory do you think does it make to your business in terms of people understanding what happened to you?
Positives and negatives. Because of the growth that we've had in the last 12 months, we're kind of at that point where we're trying to push aside that original story because we don't want to be seen as, you know, oh, these guys and their misery again. But obviously it was a big boost in terms of support and people getting behind us, both from the industry and customers.
Yeah. So moving forward now, what have you got planned coming up in the next 12 to 18 months we should be excited to see?
We're in the process of purchasing our own little brewery, a 400-litre system that we have there so we can brew on-premise. We've bought a tank at Illawarra Brewing Company as well, so we can do some bigger batches there as well. Every couple of months, we'll do a carbonation brews with them, so we'll have some new unique beers coming out as well, and just having a bit of drawing fun out of it.
And the first one of those Southern Brewers is what we're calling it when we combine, is being brewed tomorrow, and we're starting off with a nice, simple little triple IPA at 11.6%. It's the strongest beer that the Illawarra Brewery's ever brewed.
So it's all well and good to brew, but in terms of you've got to get the beer out there, so forget about the cellar door. So what will you be doing to push your sales through into pubs, hotels, potentially your cellars?
Well, that comes naturally with just having more product to sell, and that's been one of our limitations to this point. Once we have our own brew house in place, combined with the tank at Illawarra, we have enough stock for Dreiser to get out on the road every day and push the product.
Do you have a waiting list as such of businesses wanting to take on your product?
We do have a waiting list of local businesses and some in the CBD area, but it's also we have our own plan that we've been thinking about for a long time, and the growth is there. We know that the growth is there.
Well, you're definitely a survivor. So what's your advice to any small business hitting a major hiccup like Shark Island hit 12 months ago?
Don't give up.
No, just never give up. Never give up. If you think you've got a good idea or you've got a good product, it's worth fighting to the very last breath to get it up and going. And just think of whatever possible way. Think outside the box. Just keep going.
You have different routes for different angles. Something's going to be thrown at you, so you've got to have different second options, third options, fifth options, just to make sure you can cover all bases.
James Peebles and Dreiser, I wish Shark Island every success. I hope to see you swimming for many years to come. And I thank you for both coming in today and giving us that wonderful update.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
James Peebles and Dion Dreiser-Dickinson from Shark Island Brewing Company moving forward and in the right direction with their boutique brewery.